Well, I want to talk to you this morning about a subject that's been on my heart, and I really pray today that it will come across to you in the way that I intended to, because it could easily be misunderstood, okay? And so I want you to pray as well that as I'm sharing it, either I will share what you need to hear or you will hear what you need to hear, one or the other. And the Lord can do that, and I've seen Him do it many times. And the subject is Adventist culture or Adventist faith. And there is a difference between the two. One can fall under the other, but the other cannot fall under the one. And you'll know what I'm talking about as we go along. So I'm going to request your prayers this morning, and I'm going to kneel here and ask the Lord's blessing to be with us. So please bow your heads with me as I kneel. Father in heaven, Lord, this morning, we are so thankful to be in your house. It's a wonderful weekend. Though the rain may be pouring on the streets, yet the sun is shining in here. And Lord, we pray today that our experience with you this morning would be one that's real. Our eyes would be open, our hearts would be open to you and what you might speak to us this morning. Father, I pray that our hearts would be one with Jesus, that our faith in him would be steadfast, it would be true, it would be pure, and it would have an impact upon our daily lives, every moment of every day, especially today. And Father, we pray that you would be with all those who are not here today, wherever they are, that you would draw their hearts close to you as they worship you in other places. And so, Lord, we ask that you would breathe upon us the Holy Spirit, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds to your word today. Speak to us through the living power of your word and through Jesus, we ask. Send your Holy Spirit, for we need it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to tell you a story about a young man that I met. It's been about 2 weeks ago now. And the circumstances that led up to me meeting him and why I'm using that story as an introduction this morning. A couple of weeks ago, it was a Friday. It was not this past Friday, but I think it was the Friday before. I had an appointment in the morning, and then I came to the church, and I had a chiropractic appointment in the afternoon. Well, in between those two times, I went down to the Shell station. I was going to fill up my truck with gas, and then I was going to get my truck washed. I live on a dirt road, and it gets quite dusty and muddy, you understand. And so I went through the car wash first and was going to put my card in and get the car washed. And the car wash wasn't working. It said processor down. So I tried two credit cards and cash. It wouldn't work. So I left. Had I gotten my car wash, I would have gotten gas also. Keep that in mind, okay? So I came back. I went, a few of you have heard this already. I went to my chiropractic appointment, and it went a little bit longer than I had planned. I had also planned that afternoon to go visit a family who had been visiting our church. And I'm not sure if they're here today, but they may know who they are. So I wrestled with that, because that evening I also had the young adults coming over to my house. This was when my wife was in Alabama, to have a group Bible study. So I had to do some cleaning. You know, after living as a bachelor for, 2 weeks, there's some cleaning to do before people come over. Okay? So I thought, I got to get this done. So what am I going to do? So I prayed about it, and the Lord heavily impressed me to go visit this family. So I did. I went down to visit them. I went there and spoke, and the husband was still at work. The wife was there. She speaks Spanish. I speak English. Spanish is a beautiful language, but I don't speak it. So we didn't have, but I was translating through her 4-year-old son. And so I told her I would come back when the husband is there. So I left, and my natural thought was, well, Lord, why did you impress me so strongly to go visit this family if they weren't home? So when I thought that, I thought, well, I'm not sure what to do now. And then the thought popped into my head. There was something that I needed from Sam's Club. And I knew that there was a Sam's Club right in that area. So I pull out of their driveway, and I was driving down the street, and I said, I wonder where that Sam's Club is. I know it's around here somewhere. I looked up, and there's the sign. Right there it is. It's like it was just delivered to me. So I whip in there. I get my item at Sam's Club. Then I leave, and I said, well, I still need to get gas. I may not have time to get my car washed, but I need to get gas. So I pull over into the Sam's Club and get gas. Now, you're wondering, why are you telling all this? Well, there was a young man there who was doing the inviting you to sign up for a Sam's credit card. And he came and spoke to me, and I told him, you know, I have one credit card. I just use it for certain things. I don't need another one. And that morning, early, I had actually also been impressed to wear a shirt that said Amazing Facts on it. And he said to me, what's Amazing Facts about? And so I told him, I said, it's a ministry, a Christian ministry. I used to work there, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He says, oh, wow. He says, I'm a born-again Christian as well. I said, you are? He said, yeah, I am. I said, fantastic. And so we start talking some more about the Bible and God. And he says, well, what church do you go to? And I said, Seventh-day Adventist. He said, oh, okay. So we keep talking. And then he asked me again. He says, what church was it you go to? He said, Seven Chapel something. And I said, no. I said, Seventh-day Adventist. And it was like he didn't hear me the first time. He said, Seventh-day Adventist? And I said, yes. And he said, wow. He said, I've been looking for your church. And he said, I just heard a message on YouTube by Roger Morneau about prayer. And he says, and I've been wanting to find a Seventh-day Adventist. I've been wanting to meet one. He said, I've been praying to God that I would meet a Seventh-day Adventist. And then he looked at me and he said, and you're the first real live one I've ever met. And I said, really? He said, yes. I said, wonderful. I said, well, I'm not just, oh, I said, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I said, but it just so happens that I'm also the pastor of the church in town in Lansing. And he said, really? I said, and he said, God really answers my prayers. He's 26 years old. And he said, I believe what you believe. And he said, I want to come to your church. I want to be involved. I want to be a member. I said, amen, brother. So that next week, we went out to lunch. And he told me his journey. And he probably told me probably 10 different times. He would say, well, I had this question, and I prayed to God, and God gave me this answer. And when he would tell me the answer that God gave him, it was the right answer. It was the biblical answer. And I was just amazed. And so then he was telling me all kinds of stuff about what he believed. And basically, in an hour, he described to me the whole book, The Great Controversy. So I said, I have a book for you. I said, everything you've told me is in this book, and you are totally correct. Take this book and read it. So the next day, I said, why don't we get together tomorrow and study? He said, great. So the next day, I go to his house. He said, I read this one chapter. He said, about the Sabbath. He said, I have so believed the Sabbath. It's a miracle. Now, I'll come back to that, but I wanted to say, look, if I had gone to the gas station, this is how God divinely orchestrates the events of the day. And He will do it for any of us if we will have the faith to reach out and say, Lord Jesus, do this for me. Okay? If I had gone to the gas station and the car wash would have worked, I would have gotten my gas there and I would have never pulled into Sam's Club. If I had not been impressed, if I had not heeded the impression to go visit the family, I would have never went to Sam's Club and I would have never went to the gas station. If I had not have worn the shirt that God impressed me to wear that day, He may not have asked me that question. And in my foolishness, I may not have picked up that this guy might be interested. Are you with me? God orchestrated every event of the day. He even made my chiropractor appointment go on so that I could be there in that place to meet that young man. How many can say amen? He came to the church last Saturday night for Brother Jeremy's concert. And he walked in and he said, this is my home. He's not here today because he's Still working through the Sabbath work issue. He's working on getting that off. But he said, this is the place I need to be. This is God's people. This is God's church. And he said, and I want to be here. I went to his house this past Wednesday. We study on Wednesday mornings now. And he shared his testimony with me about all the hurt and the pain that he's experienced. He's a young guy. You'll see it. He's got a big tattoo of a dragon on his forearm. But he looked at me and he told me a story and he sat with tears. He was weeping of what Jesus has done in his life. And as he told me the story, I was just moved and I started. And he said, and we talked about the character of God. We studied the great controversy. And we talked about the character of God. And I explained to him how there's so many people in the world that view God this way. But it's because Satan wants him to be viewed that way. Are you with me? And he's deceived them into thinking God is something that he's not. Right? And we talked about all those wonderful themes. And at the end, and when he was telling me his testimony, he says, I've learned so much about God's character. And he says, if this is who God really is, this is a God that I can serve. And he wept before the Lord Jesus. This is faith. Because God has moved mountains for this young man. And it is a miracle. You get a chance to talk to this guy, your faith's going to be encouraged. I was embarrassed at my faith when I talked to this guy as a pastor. So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, is the battle of culture versus faith. There's always been a battle since the very beginning of good and evil, when Lucifer fell from heaven and then it transferred to the earth. And there's always been a battle between, let me use the phrase, the church and the world. Yes or no? There's always been that contention. There's always been that dividing line between light and darkness, truth and error, right and wrong. Yes or no? But I want to propose to you this morning that that's not the only battle that as Seventh-day Adventists we need to be concerned about. But that there is a battle within the church. And I'm not talking about the world coming into the church. That is a battle, and that is a valid thing, but that's not what I'm referring to. I'm not talking even about culture, secular culture, influencing the church. That is a battle, that's a reality, but that's not what I'm talking about today. But what I'm talking about is a battle of cultural faith. A church that wrestles with having a marvelous culture and depending upon that in our standing before God versus having a genuine true faith in Jesus Christ. Are you with me? A battle that, though among those who are God's people, relying upon a culture more so than a faith. Am I on target? Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a couple of examples here in Scripture of this battle that has really gone through time, and then we're going to bring it down to our day. Are you ready for that? Go with me now to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. And we're going to look at this struggle that began way back a long time ago. Genesis chapter 25. And we're going to start in verse 21. Genesis 25, verse 21. Here's what the Bible says. We're going to read through the end of the chapter. It says, Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted this plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together with her. And she said, If all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. Notice what the text says. It says, two children did what? Struggled within her. Yes or no? Now, if you think about this, who's the father of these children? It is Isaac, the son of promise, Yes or no? It's Isaac who was the prince of God, who was the son of Abraham, who was to be the heir, or not the heir, but the forefather of generations to come. Are you with me? And even within the house of God, even within that element, there is a struggle between two entities. Are you with me? Now we keep reading. It says, two nations, the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were two twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. And after his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob, which means deceiver or supplanter. Isaac was 66 years old when he bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, consider this. Both of these young men were born to the son of promise. Yes or no? Both of these young men were raised in the faith. Yes or no? As I progress, you're going to see where we're going with this. Both of these young men were raised in the church. Yes or no? Yet one ultimately relied upon his culture to receive the blessing of God, while the other ultimately, through many struggles, relied upon his what? His faith. Are you with me? Do you understand where I'm going? This is not between the world and the church. This is a battle within the church. Yes or no? There's a great controversy, not just between the world and the church, but there's a great controversy within the church between a culture and a faith. You got me? Now, Esau, let's keep reading here. Verse 29. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I am about to die, so what is this birthright to me? Then Jacob said, swear to me of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils, and then he ate and drank and arose and went his way, and thus Esau despised his birthright. Think about this, brothers and sisters. Esau sold his birthright to be the spiritual heir for a very temporary moment of satisfaction. Yes or no? He sold, though he had been raised in the church, though he had been raised in the faith, yet he still sold his eternal birthright for something that is very temporary. He sold that which was earthly or eternal for that which was earthly. Esau, yet, the Bible tells us that he wanted the blessing, yes or no? But why did he want the blessing? Did he want it because of spiritual things? No, he wanted it because he thought that that birthright would bring him greater earthly possessions, wealth, influence, whatever else you want to call it. Are you with me? That's why he was so angry with Jacob over the issue of the birthright. Not because he wanted it for spiritual reasons, not because he was interested in the kingdom of God, but because he was interested in growing his own empire on the earth. You follow me? Then in Genesis chapter 27, Jacob deceives Isaac into giving him the blessing, and Esau gets mad again, and he's ready again to kill him, right? And so it takes place that Jacob receives the spiritual blessing. But once again, why was it that Esau was seeking the blessing? Because he wanted an earthly blessing, not a what? Not a spiritual. But if you read in the book Patriarchs and Prophets, you find that though Jacob was at that point unconverted, and he used lies and tactics and of his own creating to get the birthright and the blessing, yet he did it because he wanted to be close to God. He wanted to be spiritual. Are you with me? So I'm not saying it's okay that he did that, but his ultimate motivation was that he wanted to be the Son of God. Are you with me? So there are two battles. There's one who said, give me the blessing. Let me follow this church. Let me be in my Father's house so that I can gain a greater earthly blessing. And if I do all the right things. You remember Esau, he said before his father, look, I did all these things before you. I brought you the game. Don't you have a blessing for me too? There's one group of people that says, look, Father, I've done all these things. Give me my earthly blessing. And then there's another group in the Father's house that says, I want to be the Son of God. I might struggle. I might trip over myself. I might make foolish choices. But my heart is that I want to be in my Father's house. Because I want to be close to Him. Think about that for just a moment. There was a wrestling between culture and faith. Yes or no? Now jump with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. I have a whole separate sermon on this, but I do want to make the point. In Matthew chapter 3, we find another case of this taking place. Matthew chapter 3. Let's go to verse 1. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet, saying, this is the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And I'm going to jump to verse 5. It says, then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region of the Jordan went out to meet him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the what? Of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers. That's not exactly what we want to say to our baptismal candidates. You dirty little snakes in the grass, is what he was saying. You're like little snakes withering in and out of the blades of grass, seeking to devour something that innocently steps in your path. That's what he said to them. You're rotten, he said. He said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of what? Repentance, he says. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have who? Abraham as our father. See? That's exactly what Esau said. Abraham is my father, therefore I get the blessing. Okay? He says, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham of these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the roots of the trees. Therefore, every tree which did not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed... So look, John is essentially saying here, do not think to yourselves that because of your culture, you have favor with God. Adventism has a culture, yes or no? We have a wonderful culture, yes or no? We have a biblical culture, yes or no? But that biblical culture, without the faith that is required to go with it, means that you also will be have an axe laid to your root of your tree. That's what it means. If you have that Adventist culture, and you have not yet the faith in Christ, then we are lost in our sins. And John says, do not think that you have to say Abraham is our father. And I say to you, do not think that because you're a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, I guess we're on now to eight, nine, I'm not sure how many there are, whatever generations of Adventists that we may be, that doesn't save us. It doesn't save you. Are you with me? John said, what saves you is by recognizing verse 11. I said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandal strapped I am not worthy to carry. He then will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with what? And with fire. John here is saying, do not cling to your culture, even if it's biblical, if it is not mixed also with faith in Christ. Are you with me? The Pharisees were biblical people, weren't they? They were biblical. Sadducees, biblical people. They may not have everything together, but they were biblical people, but they were lost. Because they had not been baptized by fire through Christ. They had not received the Holy Spirit to transform the heart. And Jesus works from the inside out, not from the outside in. Now, there might be some work on the outside that leads to that, but you understand what I'm saying here. That there must be a genuine transformation of the heart that then becomes evident in the life, bearing fruits of repentance. And we talked about that last week, didn't we? We talked about that. And John looked at the Pharisees and he said, you don't have it. You haven't gotten it yet. You haven't been broken on the rock. You have not received him who is your salvation. And I wonder today if there is within the Adventist church some of the same thing going on amongst some of us. I heard a good pastor recently. He made this statement. He said, being born in the truth is not the same as being true. Let me just say that again in case you were like not listening. Being born in the truth is not the same thing as being true. And you can only be made true. Not as you eat more veggie meats. Not as you stock up at the camp meeting on the Big Franks. Not as you look to your heritage, but as you look to Christ. As you look to Christ. Being born the truth is not the same as living the truth. Are you with me? Now, there's nothing wrong with being born in the truth. If you've been changed by the truth, amen? There's nothing wrong with Adventist culture if it's rooted and grounded and anchored in Adventist faith. Are you with me? Faith in Christ, faith in His Word, and faith that He has the power to change my life, and accepting that. And not allowing the problems of the history of the church to impact my own personal relationship with God. Go with me to John chapter 6. We may finish on time. We'll see. John chapter 6. I have more I would like to say, but we'll get there. We're doing all right. John chapter 6. Look at this. John chapter 6, and we're going to go to verse 22. It says, on the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no boat there except that which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, the other boat came from Tiberias to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So he's talking about feeding the 5,000, okay? The people came back, and why did they come back? They came back for more food, didn't they? They thought, well, where's this Jesus who's going to give us more bread and fish? Yeah? And it says that when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? You know, all kind of like nonchalant. trying to like hide their real anticipation. Give us more food. Where'd you go, Jesus? You weren't there feeding us. And when the people and Jesus answered them, verse 26, and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me." Were they seeking him? Yes or no? Are there lots of people in God's church today seeking him? Yes or no? But we have to ask ourselves the question, why are we seeking him? Why? "I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him." There are people today who go to church because they're afraid not to. There are people today who go to church because they hope it would relieve some of the guilt in their life. And it doesn't. And it won't. There are people today who pay tithe because, not because they look to Jesus as their creator, and they're returning a tenth to him and an offering, by the way. When God says, "Will a man rob God?" it just doesn't say tithe. It says tithe and offering. We don't emphasize that enough, but we should. Not because the church needs your money. Even if every single one of you didn't pay a dime the rest of the year, God would provide for this church. So it's not about that. I'm not concerned about that, you see. But some people, they pay tithe because they say, "Well, I'm looking for that blessing. It's kind of like the lottery. If I buy enough tickets, I win, you see. I'm looking for that earthly blessing." But God says, what about the other end? What about the other end of when I put that tithe in God's hand? I'm recognizing and acknowledging that he's my creator. And I'm returning to him that which he has given to me. Are you with me? And I'm acknowledging to the whole world that he's the one who's in charge of my life. He's the one who gives all that I have. He's the one who gives me power to gain what I have. He's the one who blesses me. And I'm returning it not to get, but to give to him. To give my heart to him. You understand? You see, culture says God knows my heart. Faith says God possesses my heart. So here are the people, they come, and Jesus says, you're only coming to me because you want more bread and fish. He says, but what I have to give you is so much more. And they said, what is the work that he gives? What are the works of God? And he says in verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. So these people were following a culture because it brought prosperity, but they missed the point. The Jews were following their culture. They were following Judaism because they thought, if we follow all these rules and all these requirements that actually not the ones that God had given, but the ones that they themselves had imposed, if we do this, God brings prosperity to our nation. And it was all about prosperity for them. Are you with me? It was all about speaking to build a bigger kingdom here. And Jesus says, no. He says, you don't understand that the culture I gave you was not for your own blessing, but it was for you to be a blessing to the world. And it was to bring you to faith in me. Jesus says, I'm the substance of everything that you're putting all your trust in. How are we doing that today? Are there those today who live by the culture, thinking that will be their entrance into heaven? Are you having today Adventist culture? Or are you experiencing Adventist faith? They follow Jesus because of the loaves and the fishes, not because they were interested in having his presence. They ate from his hand, but they didn't take from his heart. Jesus says, if any man eats this flesh of my body, he will have everlasting life. It's one thing to eat from Jesus' hand. It's one thing to receive life from his heart. And when he revealed that the bread that they were searching for was himself, they scoffed. Look at the rest of the chapter. They weren't interested in that. And there are many today who aren't interested in finding the true Jesus. Probably some sitting in this room. I hope not, but it could be. Culture seeks to eat physical bread while neglecting the spiritual. There are those who wish only to be fed in this life while sitting at Jesus' feet. They want Jesus to feed them. They want Jesus around, but they want him to feed them, not to minister to them. Now we go up to our last spot here, Matthew chapter 25. The parable of the 10 virgins. Familiar with it? Did you know that it applies to the Seventh-day Adventist Church of the last days? Did you know that? It does. Matthew chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and no oil, but the wise took oil and the vessels and their lamps. But the bridegroom was delayed, and they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And those foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, there was not enough for us and for you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know the day, neither the day or the hour when the Son of Man is coming." Look, all of the virgins, look at their characteristics. There was 10 of them. It was as a symbol of the church. They took their lamps. What is the lamp? What is a lamp? Thy word, Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. They had their Bibles in their hands. They were not biblically ignorant people, were they? They weren't. They were true. They believed in the truth. They paid their tithe. They kept the Sabbath. They did all the things. But the difference was the what? The difference was the oil. The difference was the oil. And the oil is a symbol of what, everybody? Of the Holy Spirit. So you could safely say, the foolish virgins were cultural Adventists who lacked true faith. The wise virgins were true Adventist Christians who had the Adventist faith, the biblical faith of Christ, burning within their hearts. Yes or no? Could you say that? I would have to say that if a person of a Bible-believing church does not accept the plain and clear word of God, this comes from a man named Ron Woosley, as his rule of faith and practice, I would have to consider him to be a participant in the church's culture, but not the church's faith. Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute. It's not enough to believe in the Bible. Adventist culture believes in the Bible. Are you with me? But Adventist faith says, I believe that the Bible has the power to change me. Amen. Are you with me? Adventist culture believes the truth that is written, but it does not put forth the faith to allow it to transform their lives. Does that make sense? They do not allow it to transform their lives. Adventist culture says, I believe in Christ. Adventist faith says, I have accepted Christ into my life, and He now lives within me and without me. He's changed me. Amen? Adventist culture says, I was raised in the church. Adventist faith says, I am the church, the body of Christ. Adventist culture says the Sabbath is the right day. I'm not saying that Adventist faith doesn't say that, you understand. But Adventist faith says that the Sabbath brings freedom and fellowship with the Creator of the Sabbath. And I experience that week after week. Adventist culture says, I'm so thankful to have my Sabbath every week, where I can go and rest from my work and do that which I desire. Adventist faith says it's God's Sabbath, not my Sabbath. And that I find rest in Him, not rest apart from Him. Adventist culture says, I like to go home and take my afternoon nap. But can we do that having Adventist faith? Sure we can. There's nothing wrong with taking a nap on Sabbath. I do it. But that's not all I do. Adventist faith says it's God's Sabbath and He's called me to serve others on His day. It's about others and it's about Him. It's not about me. But as I put my focus on Him and as I put my focus on others, God puts His focus on me. He does even if we don't do that, you understand? I'm not saying that, but then He gives me the rest that I need as I look to Him by faith. Are you with me, friends? Adventist culture says, I grew up in the church. I never really did anything bad in my life. I grew up in the church. Adventist culture, Adventist faith says, we're all sinners and I'm in need of grace. Adventist culture says, they say Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Adventist faith says, I believe that, and I believe that Jesus is coming soon, and it radically transforms the way that I live my life from day to day. It radically impacts the decisions that I make on a daily basis. And I live my life for Christ, not because I fear Him when He comes and I'll be lost, but I'm waiting for Him with every ounce. I'm waiting not to just get my ticket to go to heaven, but I actually want Him to change my life so that I become like heaven. Adventist culture says, I know the truth. Adventist faith says, through the grace of Christ, I live the truth. Adventist culture says, I know about Jesus. Adventist faith says, I know Jesus, and Jesus knows me. He knows me. Adventist culture says, I'm not sure that I'm saved, so I keep the culture hoping to get there. Adventist faith says, I'm sure of Jesus' salvation to me, not because I'm of the culture, but because I'm of Christ, and I trust in His promises. Though the culture is good too, amen? Because the Adventist faith leads us to an Adventist culture, doesn't it? And when I say Adventist, I mean biblical. That's all I mean. That's all I mean. It means biblical. The culture does not empower you to live above this world. It only empowers you to live comfortably in it. The culture sits in the pew week after week not being changed or seeking to help others change. A culture knows that it should completely trust in God. But a faith actually does it. Like the Jews, Adventist culture, Jews wanted deliverance from Rome. Adventist culture simply wants the material blessing, just like Esau. Adventist culture wants seclusion from the world, like the Jews did, but still loving the world's practices. Adventist culture wants deliverance from evil, but not deliverance from sin. Adventist faith wants both. Adventist faith wants to be fed by the hand of Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, there's nothing wrong with Adventist culture as long as it is built upon Adventist faith. And we need to understand, especially those who have grown up in the church, what the difference is. I didn't grow up in the church. I'm not claiming to tell you something you don't know. But I think it is time for Adventist faith to awaken among God's people, whether they've been raised in the church or not. It's time for us to be fed by the heart of Jesus and not just by His hand. It's time for us to not just seek the earthly blessing, but the eternal blessing. It's time for us to be so radically transformed by the grace of Christ and be so filled with the Holy Spirit that when we go out, people know that we've been in the presence of Jesus. What do you think? It's time that the world sees what the power of Jesus can do. And they're only going to see it through your lives. Desire of Ages, page 107. All who became the subjects of Christ's kingdom, of all who became the subjects of His kingdom, He said, would give evidence of faith and repentance. Evidence in the life. Kindness, honesty, and fidelity would be seen in their lives. That's what the faith of Christ does in our hearts and in our lives. They would minister to the needy and bring their offerings to God. They would shield the defenseless and give an example of virtue and compassion. So the followers of Christ will give evidence of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. In the daily life, justice, mercy, and the love of God will be seen. Otherwise, they are like the chaff that is given to the fire. Adventist culture doesn't say, I'll serve the church if I don't have anything better to do. It says, this is God's church and I love it because it's His bride. Adventist culture becomes indifferent to the church. It says, well, the church this and the church has got this problem and that problem. Adventist faith says, this is God's bride. And I'm not going to scoff it. I'm going to serve it. I'm going to draw close to it because it's precious to Jesus. And He is transforming it. And as He transformed the church, He transforms me. And as He transforms me, He transforms the church. So I want to say to you today, if you are steeped this morning deep in Adventist culture, but you don't have an Adventist faith in Christ, like He said to those who came to Him seeking the bread, all who will believe can be saved. It doesn't matter if you were raised in the church. You can still have a faith that is on fire. Amen? You can still have a faith that is on fire. And you can say to the world that Jesus has transformed my life. And He has changed me. And I long for Him to come. And I am not seeking whether God blesses me in this life or not. It doesn't matter. Because I seek the blessing that is eternal. And I seek Jesus to be fully dwelling within me and change my life so that I can be like Him. Amen. How many of you today want Adventist faith? Biblical faith. Faith explicitly in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not following the rules to find favor with God, but following the rules that God gives because I have favor from Him. Amen. That's my prayer for you this morning. Maybe this morning you have been in this church and you have been immersed in Adventist culture and you have the record for all the most big franks eating at camp meeting. I don't know. But you recognize this morning, I have big franks, but I need more Jesus. I love the Adventist church. There's not a the problem is not the Adventist church. The problem is having, you need to have both, don't you? One leads to the other. They are the same. Adventist faith is faith in Jesus. And as your pastor, I really want you to have that. And as your Savior, Jesus really wants you to have that. The question this morning is, do you want to have it? Because you can keep on going on in this culture, and Jesus will speak the word to you, I knew you not. I don't know you. And the door will be shut. But if you reach out to Him beyond the loaves and the fishes, to the heart of Christ, to eat His flesh and drink His blood, which is life to you, and you will live and you will find a faith that is richer than anything else this life has to offer.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.